I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minnesota.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I hope you'll indulge me in a rather unusual audio blog entry. This is Glenn Ostlund, and right now it's 4:30 in the morning, a.m., February 11th, 2015, and my mind is racing. It has been all night. My heart is numb. No, my heart is normally numb. Right now, it's actually feeling something, and I didn't expect this to happen. All tonight, I can't seem to stop reading all of the posts online, all of the various reactions to John DeLynn's excommunication yesterday, or the announcement that he was excommunicated. I've treated this pretty flippantly up to this point. But reading through all the different Facebook wall posts and forum discussions, reading what John posted, the copy of his excommunication letter, and the letter that he received in August, I'm just struck by so many things. But one thing stands out more than anything. A profound sadness. A sadness that I just didn't expect. I didn't really know it was there. Now, if you listen to the podcast a lot, you know I joke around. I joke around a lot. And I feel driven to make these podcasts, to make them entertaining, to make them fun, and to keep discussing Mormonism with these friends of mine, to reach out and get a reaction from listeners. But what drives it all? I think right now at 4:30 in the morning that it might be this profound sadness. Now, I had a brief exchange with a friend of mine tonight, and we knew each other for a few years when he was in law school here where I live. And he posted on Facebook that with this John DeLynn excommunication, everyone is a loser. And I read through the responses that he received from a lot of active Mormon friends, people who just didn't quite get it. All they saw in John DeLynn was a guy who had lost his faith in the Mormon church and talked about it on a podcast, promoting doubt and leading other people out of the church. So why wouldn't he be axed? And I got to admit, as I was reading what they were saying, I could totally see their point of view. Because why would anybody want to be a member of a church that they didn't really believe in? So I asked my friend why this had upset him so much. And he told me that he's been trying for so long in the church to be the change that you want to see. And this excommunication just made him feel a sense of hopelessness. Now that stirred something inside of me. Because I remember having that same kind of hope. I remember being the change I wanted to see in the church. It was several years ago, but now I remember. And then I remember that hope being squashed. And it made me think about John DeLynn and about Kate Kelly and about our SmackDown approach with them and the way that I've not taken all of this quite as seriously as maybe I should have. And I think it's because of the pain. I think it's because of this profound sorrow, the mourning of the lost hope that I used to have. The hope that love and kindness and charity and humility could overcome self-centered self-importance and self-righteousness. The kind of attitude that I saw in the letters that I was reading from John DeLynn, from stake president and others. The hope that I'd be able to overcome this myopic us versus them view of the world. And maybe I lost this hope as a member of the church, but I still have a really strong reaction against any kind of us versus them demonization of an other. I didn't like it when Mormons did it to the world. I don't like it now when ex-Mormons do it to Mormons. I still have a hope that I can be the change I want to see when it comes to othering people, but I'm probably just as guilty of doing it in my more flippant, thoughtless moments than I'd like to imagine. I still mourn the loss of the hope that the pharisaical Stephen Erastus Knudsen-esque insistence on absolute certainty and precise letter of the law, idolatrous worship of symbols could be smacked down and replaced with a humble, loving, tolerant, accepting spirit of the law, learning the lessons behind the symbols, learning the lessons behind the rituals, rather than worshiping those symbols and rituals themselves. Another friend of mine shared a story with me a few months ago. It's been on my mind a lot. I haven't talked about it yet, but when he was on his mission, he was having serious doubts about the church. He was one of those guys who never really felt a spiritual connection, you know, the spiritual connection that everybody else around him seemed to be talking about. Except for one night when he was teaching some Christian couple, I don't remember the denomination, and they said, "Okay, we've let you show us yours, now let us show you ours. And then you pray about us the way that we prayed about you." And he did. And he felt something. Finally, he felt the Spirit. But it wasn't towards his own church that he was there as a missionary representing. It was towards theirs. And you know what thought went through his mind? He thought, "What's wrong with me? Did something go wrong when I was baptized? Maybe some of my hair or a part of my pant leg floated up out of the water and neither of the witnesses caught it and the whole thing just never took. Maybe this is why I haven't had those feelings and maybe why I'm open to this feeling now that obviously is coming from the devil. I just don't have the protections against it." And this caused him great concern because he believed that the ritual and the performance was actually the really important part. He'd been raised to be an idolater and he didn't even know it. He didn't have any way of thinking that it was all just a symbol, a metaphor to learn from, not something that could goof him up in some metaphysical way for the rest of his life. So I used to have a hope that people would be able to wake up and open up their eyes and disabuse these rituals of their metaphysical power, and that I could help show them that there's still a value to be had in the messages that those rituals could teach us, that they could bind us together as a community that truly rejoices with each other and mourns with each other and plays basketball on Wednesday nights and plans fun activities for the scouts and sings songs with our children and helps those in need of help and supports each other through all the most meaningful stages of our lives. I used to hope that could be realized outside of the dogmatic insistence on literal truth claims. And I tried for a really long time to be the change I wanted to see. So today, for probably thousands of people, Kate Kelly's and John DeLynn's excommunications have meant the squashing of the same kind of hope in them. And I should have remembered that. So to John and to Kate and to all of those of you who have felt and are now feeling the pain in this loss of hope, I want you to know that I'm sorry for my insensitivity and I'm sorry for my flippancy. I'm sorry for forgetting exactly how it feels to have that hope come crashing down. Because that profound sadness still lingers inside of me. It's just masked by the philosophies of men mingled with humor. Now, it may not be as strong of a pain as it used to be, and hopefully that sorrow will heal completely someday, but What if it doesn't? What if that's just another one of these hopes that comes crashing down? I think I may have had a little twinge of that happening to me tonight. But I don't really want to end it here in this pool of profound sadness, because I really want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to John DeLynn for everything that he's done and everything that he'll continue to do. He is my friend, and he puts up with me teasing him a lot. But I've learned so much from John, and I'm thankful for that. And I also want to say thank you to Kate. Now, I don't really know Kate much at all. We had a brief interaction on Facebook the day after our first smackdown of her, and openly criticizing someone you don't know isn't the best way to say hello. But I do want to thank Kate for raising the profile of issues that I've enjoyed exploring, and that I intend to continue exploring. And I really want to thank the guys on this podcast, because they're just so much fun to talk to. And a lot of that happens behind the scenes. It's just a fun group to interact with, and it's a good thing it's all virtual, because if we were in the same space for too long, we would probably get sick of each other really fast. But I love that we can be so natural with each other, and real and gritty, and that we can grind ideas through each other's brains. It's one of the major highlights of my life. And I want to thank my wife, who often feels like a second priority to the podcast, but she isn't. Now, we've been married for nearly 2 years now, and it isn't easy bringing together a blended family. 5 kids, 2 of hers, 3 of mine, and then the 2 of us adults, shared custody with our exes. There are a lot of ups and downs, a lot of transitions. But we are weathering the storms, and we're learning how to do that and to show our love and support of each other a little bit better every time. And I love that, and I'm very thankful for my wife and for the support that she gives to this crazy hobby that I do. And of course, I want to thank you listeners for your feedback and for your support, especially those who put together listener essays and take the time to come on and share your perspectives with us and with our audience. And for those who have given us essays that we haven't gotten to yet, I'm sorry about that. We will get to them. So I thank you for your patience. And I'm thankful, boy, this is getting really testimony-like, isn't it? I'm thankful for those who send us the closing outros. I really like those. And of course, those who give us feedback on our cheesy surveys or in emails to us, responding to the constant request for iTunes reviews. Just thank you for the many ways that you show us appreciation. Now, my mom used to sing me a little thank you song to sleep. It was my favorite song, like lullaby, when I was a little kid. It was very comforting. So maybe I'll sing it and it'll help me sleep tonight. Because yes, Mom, I'm thankful for you too, even when I don't return your calls for a week or two. So, okay, this is what she would sing. And I tried to find an audio version of this online. I couldn't find it anywhere, but I found the lyrics. I found the words. But I'd be interested to know if anybody else has heard this song, because I think it's kind of a rarity, but it goes like this. Thank you, Mommy, for tucking me in bed. Thank you, Daddy, for stories that you read. Thank you, Teddy Bear, for always being there. This is Thank You Day. Thank you, Circus, for every funny clown. Thank you, Santa, for always coming round. Thank you, Candy Shops, for making lollipops. This is Thank You Day. And when I lay me down to sleep, every night I know someone has my soul to keep. I want to thank him so. Thank you, Mommy, for tucking me in bed. Thank you, Daddy, for stories that you've read. thank you, family, for always loving me. Let me thank you. This is Thank You Day. You know, maybe I'm beyond feeling, because it seems like I should feel something with this, but it just kind of makes me angry at the church. Isn't that weird? All of this family stuff, you know, that's become the message of the church. And I think that's one of the really painful things when you're losing that hope, is losing that sense that your family is threatened. So, anyway, this was a weird thing.
Hi, this is Pollyanna from Northville, Michigan, and I've been a fangirl of the infant since before this podcast. Little did I know I was contributing to Glenn's massive ego. You can comment on this episode on the website infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I didn't, because I don't know how to work computers or plant trees. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.